and welcome to Ready for Nintendo. I'm your host, James Jones. I've got to have energy because we're starting at midnight, so this will be fun. This is officially the latest we've ever started anything. Greg's it's the earliest, I suppose.
Except planning the telethon. Heyo! It's annoying.
I hate you, John Lindemann. That's my introduction for John Lindemann. I hate him. I'm also joined today by Mr. Greg Leahy.
Ahoy, ahoy, everyone.
Mr. Guillaume Veillette.
Bonjour.
And the former host of the show and the director of Nintendo World Report, Dr. Jonathan Metz.
Nice.
No.
Yeah, that did not get annoying at all. Like when they were switching to a new presenter.
And that'll
do it
for RFN
this
week.
Podcast, I suggest that during this podcast, whenever someone has something to say, we just switch to this new person.
Yeah.
It would fix
over and over again.
Wouldn't it? Yeah.
It would.
It'd make more sense if it was the Nintendo Snap.
Also, let's have our feet glued to the stage at all times, unless we're that Splatoon guy, and then we can move around and make twos bodies.
Let's just start. Actually, that looked nothing
like
a 3D
bear. Somebody's
going to
sort of Photoshop that in, so he's putting a Bayonetta costume with the two
guns.
That was a
Kamen Rider pose he was striking. So let's start with the very beginning. We were treated to DJ Laser Show, which is a very Ubisoftian event, but we didn't... no appearances of Ubisoft till the very end. We saw some Rayman in the sizzle reel. But then the show actually got started, went straight into brass tacks of the launch lineup and or the launch actual configuration and what the hardware is. So let's start with it. It's $300 or $300 worth of yen, or consult your local market because Europe doesn't let us do MSRPs.
Yeah, that's the way Europe is. But $300 on March 3rd, 333, guys. I mean, I was a little taken aback when they showed that price in U.S. dollars, but then I thought, well, they're obviously going to include a game, so let's just sit tight and see what that's going to be before we get uppity about this price point. And then they waited until the very end to show that there is no game included, so I feel like $300 is pretty high.
I think it is too.
I wonder if it's kind of expensive
for this thing.
I wonder.
So
if
there was a Walmart.ca kind of placed a 400 price tag on that Canadian, and it's a little bit bitter. It's a little bit hard to swallow.
Like, so I wonder if the thought process has reached, like, we know we're going to sell this initial allotment, so let's do that, and then we'll deal with pricing, because they've had this weird mix of, like, they overprice a piece of hardware, it doesn't sell, they slash the price and it sells, or in the case of Wii U, it doesn't, or they underprice something and it just blows through their door and they are out of stock and then they're yelled at for not having stock. I would guess that $300 is probably roughly about what it costs them to make their money on this thing,
I guess.
I mean, there's a lot going on with this. Those motion controllers looked significantly more sophisticated than anything they have done to date in terms of what they were tracking. And of course, you get two of them.
There's definitely a lot of tech in those Joy-Cons. I guess we're going to get into that in detail.
Yeah. Obviously, you get the screen. You get all the stuff that it's doing. If you were to buy a tablet of comparable power, you're probably looking at, I don't know, $200-ish dollars, maybe a bit more. And obviously, it does other stuff. So the price may not be exorbitant for what it is, but I think we all had sort of just assumed that, yeah, they're going to come in hot on this and go low.
Well, also the fact, too, add on to that, that online is now a pay service.
Yeah, they didn't ever go back to that. But
they really didn't go into online at all. They were like, and online and... online multiplayer. Anyways, moving on.
I guess the fact that it will be paid for, we're meant to assume that it might be, you know, more robust than it's been in the past.
Well, so the one
it does seem like more games are going to be online than before, because if ARMS is going to be online, then I think that most, like Mario Party and stuff like that, are also going to be online. Like when they showed ARMS, it seemed like the type of, you know, kind of mini game-ish game that they would usually just, it would just be, you know, same room co-op or, you know, multiplayer.
Apparently,
They'll have head-to-head and online battles as well. That's what they said. But they didn't say when they could. I don't know. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that was very vague, extremely vague.
So they have a web page for the online service. All it says right now is that the free trial period starts in March at launch, and the paid begins in fall 2017.
Yeah.
There's more online lobby and voice chat, monthly game download, and exclusive deals. So let's see. Actually, I've got the web page in front of them. Or in front of me. So, online lobby, monthly game download. What is it? Does it describe monthly game download? Let me see. Subscribers will get to download. I'm going to read. Subscribers will get to download and play Nintendo Entertainment System or Super Nintendo Entertainment System game with newly added online play free for the first month. So it's going to be like, I guess it's Netflix. Like, there's going to be one that's the game of the month, and then they're going to switch them out.
Interesting.
Uh-huh.
Well, by the way, I'm just watching something you guys probably haven't seen yet. I'm watching the trailer for Mario Kart 8 Deluxe, and I could tell you another thing you're probably going to want to play online is the Block Fortress from the original Super Mario Kart, including the feather item.
Sweet.
Is being added to this game. So they are definitely revamping the battle mode stuff. They're also adding a lot of Splatoon characters, apparently.
Good.
Are they adding Spike, mode. Though?
No!
No, just let's
he's going to be who the fuck for is Spike? DLC.
He's going to be paid DLC. It's going to cost $1,000.
There's a lot of
if you
Spike
buy it, someone
Mario
shows
Run.
Up at your house and commits you.
Spike is now. Spike is 2017. Spike is in Super Mario Run.
He's hot.
Spike. This time, finally.
Giant pain in the ass. In that
you know, I think they wanted hot. They wanted
he's
hot
a giant
takes,
pain in the ass on our
spikes.
Twitter account, too.
They want hot spikes. That's what they want. Not hot takes, hot spikes.
Yeah.
He might look like a Bowser kid reject, but he's really like one of the best characters, in my opinion.
Better dead than Spike. Anyway, continuing on. So I wonder if the they showed Street Fighter and they showed Bomberman. I wonder if that's the kind of stuff they're talking about with this, like, games have online play added to them. I don't know.
I did see that looked like a pretty high res version of Street
yeah,
Fighter.
Yeah, that could be like something else.
It looked kind of like Street Fighter 2.
No,
those
sprites
like that HD remix thing that they
yeah,
did.
Yeah, you're probably
they
right.
Some while ago, yeah, on the PS3.
So they're announcing more stuff, I guess, right now. So we're going to miss a lot of the stuff that's happening.
Wait, what do you mean right now?
Well, like, you know, like the press kits. All the stuff that comes out that they don't really touch on, like all that stuff.
Right.
People are digesting that right now.
Okay.
So,
well,
like,
hey, we're live.
Yeah, well, so, I mean, we have to digest the stuff right now. We're doing something else. It's going to be hard for us to read press kits.
Apparently, there's 2,822 tweets about New Donk City. it's the number four trending topic on Twitter right now is New Donk City.
I'm being told that Street Fighter is original, or at least is that remake. It is a remake. It is not what they're talking about with this free online game stuff. So yeah, it sounds like that they're going to add online play to NES and Super Nintendo games, and they'll be free for a month, and then they'll be paid after that. It's so, like, you get like a 1 month trial period with them. They're also announcing the price for accessories that come with the system, like the dock and the plugs and stuff. So if you want to buy the Joy-Con, I haven't seen it, but if you want to buy a dock, it's $90 worth in yen.
What?
Yeah. Well, that's with
the cables too, but
yeah. Joy-Cons are 80 for a set of two. Wow.
They buy their cables at Best Buy. It really jacks up the price.
It's true. They're
all monster cables, that's why.
Yeah. they're gold lined, so it's worth it. $69.99 for the Pro Controller, and then $79.99 for the Joy-Cons. Anyway, we're off topic a little bit. So yeah, the price was a bit of a shock. The fact that they're moving to online to pay for online is a little bit of a surprise, but maybe not that much because everybody else is there at this point, and effectively they may feel like they're leaving money on the table.
It's surprising because I can remember Nintendo saying that they would never do that.
Well, they're they're it's a different company now, Johnny.
DLC was something they were, you know, they were, it was all the games were whole as they were, you know, but yes. so we crossed that threshold. So.
I just played Fire Emblem Fates. I don't want to hear about the game being whole. Thank you.
Yeah, I mean, I would just think that if they're going to drop a bombshell like paid online, that they would have actually gone into what that service is.
Yeah, the justification.
Well, I mean, they did just launch a website, and I mean, I gave you a quick read from it. So I mean, it does have the stuff that we were wondering where the hell it was. Like I said, it has lobby and voice chat.
Yeah, I mean, I hear that, and that's the most vanilla kind of online you can possibly have in a console game in 2017. That's okay. What that says.
What would you
have an online system? Just I don't know, something that differentiates it from any other online service out there.
Like what?
I don't know. That's up
to arrange meetups. That's what it sounds like.
And, yeah, I mean, yeah, it has that. That's at least something.
Maybe at least I feel like it's not necessarily really matching what PSN or Xbox Live is doing.
Especially in terms
of like actual giving you games each month. I mean, PSN and Xbox Live, they just toss that stuff out like candy. And it's like, okay, well, you can have an NES or a Super NES game for a month, but then you got to pay for it. It's like, come on, man. Come on.
Well, yeah. I mean,
am I crazy here? Does that sound like a value?
We don't know how much it's going to cost either. That's the other part.
Right.
That would have been nice.
$20 a year, but yeah, they probably haven't decided yet.
Yeah.
I mean, if it's that cheap, okay, that's a value. But
yeah,
you know, these are the things that I would have liked to have seen cleared up because I have those kinds of questions based on the lack of information that we got about it.
Of course. So, yeah, look, this was not a tell-all event. This was exactly an E3 press conference in January. It was exactly the level of detail you would expect from an E3 press conference.
Usually when you have an E3 press conference, the console launch is about 5 months away, not less than two.
Yeah.
So yeah, that's the difference. I feel like that's why some of these things felt like it was maybe you were expecting there might be more clarity. But yeah, I'm sure they'll be coming in the days.
Yeah.
The paid online service isn't coming out until the fall, so it's not 2 months.
Part of it is.
Yeah. So I would say that we may not understand all of the pieces here, because like reading this. You know, it's not entirely super clear what some of the terminology means. Like, it could have double, it could be read two different ways. So, I would say on the online stuff, you know, as opposed to beating it to death, maybe we should just say do a little wait and see on this one, because I think there's going to be a lot of, when the press gets to talk to people, there's going to be a lot of questions. We may get a lot of clarity real fast on some of these things.
Yeah, I know. Including the monthly game download. The storage questions we've talked about before, those are going to have to be addressed. Yeah. And there's a lot, you know, it's not long, especially because, I mean, just going back to the release date point, that was 2 to 3 weeks earlier than pretty much anybody I've seen expected. Yeah. It was the middle of March or the end of March was really, you know, what we thought. So the third is that is, you know, pretty quick. So they're going to have to get on this dissemination campaign pretty shortly.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot. So I'm looking at the Japanese games page right now just to see the stuff that was announced. Because I know we can talk a lot about hardware. We could talk a lot about the launch items. We have to handle that. But we've already kind of talked. Third was sooner than we expected. The price is higher than we expected. Pay for online play and what that comes with it. I think we need to do a little bit of wait and see. But it really took them a little while to get into games. Like they seem to be going big on showmanshipy stuff here. And this was, you know, we see that when they do E3, but E3 is run by their American division in a lot of ways. And it reflects that in its sensibility. It's still very Nintendo-esque, but there's a filter between us and what we got today. What we got today was distilled lunacy, because pretty much everything in it was just me going, what are you doing? Because you have things like the announcement of 1-2 Switch as presented by Mr. Koizumi, who was apparently a maniac, and we didn't know that.
Koizumi was amazing.
He was chewing up the scenery.
Oh, God.
But
played me.
He really is a star. I've seen that guy before, and I always thought he looked deeply uncomfortable. Maybe he was just jet lagged at whenever I see him at E3, but I've never thought that he had any kind of stage presence whatsoever.
He had costume changes. Like, what?
I was pretty impressed tonight.
That's so good.
It's ridiculous. But
yeah. So, hey, guys, I got an important detail since it already came up in conversation. I'm looking at the features page on the website, and it says internal memory, 32 gigabytes of internal memory, a portion of which is reserved for use by the system. Users can easily expand storage space using micro SDXC cards.
Yeah, I realized
the XC are the ones that go up to like a terabyte or something.
Yeah, nice. Yeah, I realized it was micro SD yesterday when that Hori stuff leaked, and they had one of the items was this little carrying case for the game cards, and I noticed that one of the slots was not the same shape, and I was like, oh, those are micro SDs, aren't they? Shit.
Mm, yeah. Also mentions that the screen has a resolution of 720p. We also we already knew that it's multi-touch capacitive from the video, but it on the battery life it says it can last more than 6 hours. Will vary. For example, Legend of Zelda: Breath of the Wild can be played for roughly 3 hours on a single charge.
Yeah. That's
a decent session of Zelda.
Yeah, yeah. Reasonable.
You know,
but in fact,
you're not going to beat the game that way.
The fact that it is like standard, you know, USB micro, and you could, I've got a million things that charge USB micro at this point. You know, I could go plug it in and play it. So it's a hell of a lot better than the proprietary stuff on the 3DS.
It's USB Type C, not micro.
See, you're right. It's Type C. Yeah. But that's, you know, that's much preferable. We do have, so somebody just said that they're a 2 tera. Oh, well, yeah. 200 gigabyte is $70 right now, so it's not cheap, but it will hopefully drop at some point.
You don't have to get one that big either.
Well, I mean, I want space. I want to feel like I'm getting the most out of it.
PS4 comes with 500 gigabytes of space.
Sure, if you're cheap. This comes with 32. So I'm sorry. Like I'm getting info thrown at me from like five different channels right now. So it's a little bit distracting to try to host a show at the same time. This is a unique experience. I don't know that we've done one of these live immediately after an event. So this is kind of a management game. Let's talk about the 1-2 switch real quick.
Sure, it's kind of, I don't know, it is strange, right, to lead off with kind of the Sports Friends, collection you have for your system, no?
I think it
was WarioWare when they first started.
Yeah, so did I.
I think it did a really good job of showing that plus, what was it called, ARMS? Because Fists was already taken, I would guess, or has terrible connotations.
Fist is the name of a Sylvester Stallone faux Hoffa biopic, so couldn't really use that.
It's hard to Google Fists.
No, it's very easy to Google Fists. It's hard to process what you get as a result. So the interesting part about those games are they both showed off what the Joy-Con was relative to its predecessors, the Wii remotes. They showed different ways of using them. They showed that they are responsive in ways that Wii remotes aren't. Mm-hmm. And they showed a sort of an aesthetic of lunacy that I think they really were trying to play up. So, I mean, the entire presentation for 1-2 Switch was crazy.
I did notice that one of the minigames was milking cows. They want you to feel uncomfortable and to look weird.
It's a party.
I call that every day, Guillaume. So they there was a sense that game is more like what was that Wario game for Wii U called?
Oh, Game and Wario.
Yeah,
Game and Wario.
Yeah, like a big Game and Wario esque. Like they didn't seem like micro games.
To me, it just made me think of Wii Play. I mean, that's really, I think, the most salient comparison. And you know, you wonder, as it is apparently not a pack in with the system, could it be a pack in with controllers or something as Wii Play was?
Well, I mean, you don't really need more controllers to play it from what they've shown so far. You can use the Joy-Cons that come with the system.
That seems to be a pretty big selling
point. That is part of the sort of selling point of the Joy-Cons is that it is, you know, a two controllers, not one.
Right.
Yeah, it's there's some stuff in that demo that looked interesting, I guess, is probably the best way to describe it, but obviously we need to see more because a lot of the time they spent on it was people in costume. A lot of costumes too. Like they had the opening shootout scene, but they went through a bunch of different like images. It was a very odd presentation. Then they went to Arms. And Arms looks like they thought Splatoon did real good, so we should make something for Switch.
Mm. I like the character designs. I think the art style of it is pretty cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Yeah, but whereas Splatoon kind of immediately looked appealing to me, Arms immediately reminds me of the boxing game from Wii Sports, which, you know, is no one's favorite of that collection.
They actually had to bundle, when they did the separate releases for Wii Sports on Wii U, they had to bundle that in with the last one was two sports together because they don't think they thought anyone would buy boxing separately.
Right. And just looking at the action, it looked like you miss a lot. And that just, you know, it didn't look that much fun, you know, like it looked like, you know, more motion controls, more kind of exhausting gameplay for little gain.
Well, I would say, you know, I think the length of the arms, the range at which they have you playing probably promotes punching less often. Mm. And it does seem like there's a lot of aiming involved.
Sure.
Yeah, and so there's more finesse, so it's probably designed to make you not tire out. I mean, that's the problem with Wii Sports boxing is it's really just kind of chaotic. Just a
but
frenzy.
And also the Wii Sports Resort, the sort of fencing or whatever, you know, that was called. I mean, that was fun, but, you know, you could really kind of spam, just sort of vibrating the controller and turning that into repeated strikes. So, yeah, I think it looks like it's got more kind of gameplay substance than something like that, but obviously we don't know how that all balances out until you get to actually try it. And that's a fair amount of that presentation had the problem of, you know, that part of the presentation had the problem of, like, describing things that are hard to do. I mean, obviously they had the visualization of, like, here's an ice cube and here's three ice cubes and here's water going in the glass and all that. It's just, you know, it's not exactly easy to convey, you know, what this quote-unquote HD force feedback actually feels like. I think it might be better to be a little bit quicker with that stuff. I feel like it's just one of these things where you should admit defeat that you can't communicate it.
I'm actually really interested in seeing, you know, the feedback that they've got, because it seemed different. Like, it seemed like I thought they actually did a nice job explaining what it is. Like,
that was effectively communicated, the subtlety of that, you know, where you can feel the difference of water filling up the glass. You can feel the difference between the numbers of ice cubes. That makes sense to me, even though I couldn't feel it myself while I was watching it.
It's also an assertion, though. I mean, it's one of these things like, you know, until you actually feel it, you did. That's what they're claiming. But is it as nuanced as they're saying?
I think we'll find out tomorrow.
Right. But we also, I think, like, it's only when we're going to get one in our hands that we're going to actually really get the answer, right? Like, is this so much better than Wii Remote Plus? And the thing is, you know, like, yeah, sure. Like, I think they did their best demonstrating the HD force feedback. They did their best kind of explaining how the controller was more sensitive. But I think that a lot of people have just been burned with, you know, kind of the hyperbolic claims about Kinect, you know, like... I'm sure that the Joy-Con can, you know, you can play a rousing game of rock, paper, scissors with it. But what else can it do, right? Like, you know, the sensitivity, what are they going to do with it? And also, are they kind of exaggerating it? Because, we all remember that Star Wars presentation for Kinect was faked, you know?
Yeah, well, I mean, it's just, that's the kind of thing I feel like that is more for, you know, seeds believe, you know, lots of seeds believe, but actually feelings believe it in this case, you know, doing it for yourself. So just don't spend that much time on making claims that people might not, you know, really kind of feel particularly persuaded by anyway.
And I mean, also, how many games are going to use that stuff anyways, right? There's always kind of a long-term trend of, okay, well, here's a whole bunch of wacky stuff that this console can do, and then it's like the games use like 2 out of 10 things they show, really, because it's only usable in very specific gameplay scenarios.
I'm not opposed to it being in there because I want to see because somebody like Goichi Suda, who seemed like he was ad-libbing his entire presentation.
That was the greatest. It's like everything is like perfectly. Guy's like, yes, okay, I'm so and so, and then Suda comes on. And he's just like, silence. Suda's just sitting there talking.
He's my moment there after
they had Negoshi and Suda on the same stage they put two of the industry's biggest lunatics on the stage effectively at the same time. What the fuck were they thinking?
Yeah, I was like, what? Like,
also, by the way, you can now pre-order Switch units at walmart.com.
Oh,
cool.
Which I just
Hang on.
Did.
I'll be right back.
I just did it, so.
Is it up on Amazon yet?
That I saw.
We've got over here in the UK, we've got Amazon pre-orders in T-minus 23 minutes. Yeah, that's
nice.
Yeah, that's what we're looking at anyway.
Yeah, so I've got one now, so I'm good to go. I'm excited though about some of the stuff they announced. It's like we have these two games that we think show off the hardware. We've got the Joy-Cons, which are interested to see what they can do. We'll probably take a caller in a minute or two. I've got somebody in mind that might be worth talking about. But you know, they're announcing games still. So like they just put out a big list of games in Japan. There's some that we didn't see. Blaze Blue is coming, NBA 2K18, which I think they sort of hinted at in there. They may have actually shown it on the video. Rayman Legends Definitive Edition, Steep, which was in there briefly. Puyo Puyo Tetris coming to the West. Hey, on Switch and PS4.
Finally. That's awesome.
Nobunaga, Disgaea 5, Complete, Dragon Ball Xenoverse 2, Arcade Archives, Sonic Mania, Story of Seasons. So more stuff than they showed, obviously. But there's some stuff in there that I'm really excited to see, but mostly because I'm a maniac. So, you know, there's stuff in here that appeals to me more than it probably does a lot of you. But let's go through some of the games they announced besides those two. Like Arms, I think, is more interesting of the two personally, because I didn't say my piece on it besides that the name is bad.
Well, it could be because 1-2 Switch is barely entitled to the sort of distinction of a video game in the very real sense that, you know, you're not using a screen.
Yeah, like...
There is not a video component to this game.
It's Johann Sebastian Joust. I mean, it is.
Yeah.
That's what it... You know, the same kind of verve it's got. Only there is a screen involved. It's just you're not using it. Whereas in Joust, there wasn't even really a screen. There was the one he was using to set it up.
I mean, there is something that appears on the screen, but it's not really of any consequence when you play Joust.
I don't even think when I played it, the screen was visible to the people playing. I think it was all just...
It doesn't need to be.
Yeah. So let's go through some of the games they did show. Let's just start it off with Mario's Odyssey or whatever. Was Super Mario Odyssey?
Super Mario Odyssey.
Mm-hmm. What a name. Like, that's a... So first off, I want to say right now, I'm not comfortable with Mario running around in a real world with real world humans. It's a little bit too Sonic 06 for me, to be fair.
It looks weird. It does look weird.
And
it's unsettling.
Yeah, it doesn't just look weird with, you know, in itself, but also like then he travels to other worlds and they're completely different.
Art styles.
The city doesn't really look great. Like, the people in it didn't look great. It looked like very kind of, I don't know, kind of HD-fied PS2 kind of models. Is that only me?
I don't know. I think it was a style choice more than anything. It looked a little bit like Mario is King Kong in some cases. He's actually climbing up the city and the scale looks kind of off, which I thought was interesting, but I did get this weird, awful, like Ubisoftian open world tinge when I was looking at it, like, oof, are we going to be climbing up towers to find power-ups? And But the other stuff they showed was not quite so like that. You know, it was very different, very felt much more Mario-esque.
Some just very like super stylized, like, you know, actually taking, like, whereas the cityscape kind of looks more kind of organic and detailed than your normal sort of Mario graphics, the other places looked more abstract and sort of completely drained of detail and sort of artsy. So yeah. I think it, to me, it's a nice way of ameliorating the problem of, you know, fire world, desert world, ice world, you know, that tends to plague Mario games a lot of the time. You're feeling like you're kind of going through the motions in terms of the journey, especially the new Super Mario Brothers games tend to you'd be very predictable in that way. But even, you know, some like Super Mario 3D Land 3D World, you know, that was not really the strength of the games, you know, the feeling of a journey, you know, because they were sort of more abstract. And Galaxy, obviously, you know, had the space angle. And it was just like kind of crazy and imaginative and all that. This is, you know, obviously going to be different from that. And they were very specific about it. They considered it to be the first quote unquote sandbox Mario since Sunshine. So they're even kind of cutting Galaxy out of that, which is obviously not as linear as the 3D Land, 3D World games. So, you know, you could presumably going to be very, you know, based on running around finding stuff rather than just going from A to B.
Yeah, the thing that I thought was interesting about seeing them making a, you know, they brought up specifically 64 and Sunshine, and A, they don't acknowledge Sunshine all that much. They just don't talk about it. You know, they talk about 64, they talk about Galaxy, they talk about the 3D underscore games. So it was interesting to see them mention that game specifically. But, you know, how do we feel about sort of the return to a larger open area? Do we think this is because when they built 3D Land, obviously, for 3DS, and then did they build World on top of it, now they had time to build their own thing? Or do you think they're just trying something new? Like, are we excited to go back to big open spaces? It is a return to what was 2002 was Sunshine?
Yep.
It's been a long time since we've had one of these. 15 years.
I think there's opportunities there for certainly, but there's also, you know, personally, I've enjoyed the kind of linearization for the lack of a better term of the 3D Mario games that's taken place since 2002. So yeah, there's a certain amount of trepidation about it for me as well. But at the same time, you know, you'd like to think, especially because the rest of the industry has shown absolutely no interest in refining that kind of 3D platformer. It would be nice to see them sort of try and, after sort of like paring things back for 15 years, you know, trying to solve some of those issues another way without like diminishing the scope of the game.
The hat with eyeballs.
Well, the whole boomerang and actually using it as a platform thing looked really cool.
It does. Yep. Yeah.
I wonder what the cap is called though.
So it's low two.
Minish. I don't know.
There's a hat in one of the Mario Party games with eyeballs, and it does have a name. So I'm sure it's got a name, and I'm sure it's stupid, and it's a pun, and we're all gonna hate it. But I look forward to hating it. So I'm gonna actually bring in a caller right now.
Oh snap!
Great.
Switch games are they're up for pre-order on Amazon, by the way.
Oh no, not
really?
Just the games, like Splatoon 2, Skyrim, Arms, Redout, which is by Sega, and Super Mario Odyssey are up.
They don't have Zelda yet, huh?
No, not yet.
I pre-ordered a Switch from Walmart, but it says it'll be ready for pickup by Wednesday, March 8th, which is 5 days after launch.
I know.
And people in the chat have been saying that everybody's getting that. That could be an error, or that could be revised later.
Yeah, that's what I saw.
That could
when
just
I did
be a placeholder.
Too. I'm trying so we'll to add. Is see. Just I hate Skype. It's cool. Everything's fine. Everything's fine, everybody. I have to add him to contact before I can add him to the call because Skype's a nightmare. So yeah, I'm actually kind of excited to see a new Mario game, like a new big 3D Mario game. It's been a while since 3D World. If you want to put that as your tent pole, like what's the last actual Mario platformer they released? If you don't count Mario Run, which it was 3D. Well, I guess it's new Super Luigi, World. Isn't it?
No, Luigi was a few months before, wasn't it? It was like in the middle of 2013, whereas 3D World was at the end.
I think that's right. Yeah.
Okay.
I think it was World or Mario Maker, you could argue.
Yeah.
But it's been a while, and I'm excited to get to play a big 3D platformer. Also, we now have Caller on. Hello, Caller.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good.
Oh, hey.
Can you go ahead and introduce yourself for everybody?
Sure. I'm pretty sure from the name you saw, it's pretty long, but I go by Cody for short.
Okay.
That makes things simple.
Hi, Cody.
How you guys doing?
Good.
Good.
Tired.
So how are you?
Tired. Yeah, me too.
How you feel about Mario Odyssey?
You know what? The first thing that caught me off guard was the regular-sized looking people looking at Mario running around a normal-looking town. That was really interesting dichotomy between those things.
Didn't we just hear that Mario is like 7 feet tall just a couple months ago? There wasn't Miyamoto saying something like that? Like he's
he was about him being in his mid-20s or whatever. So,
oh, that's right. It was the same age.
Clearly, something's gone awry.
Well, based off the scale on the video, it seems like he's about 4 feet tall and really wide.
Yeah,
he's legally a dwarf.
Yeah,
I'm looking at the video again right now, kind of just going through like on slides, like just going through like a slideshow, and it's the art styles are all over the place. Even more so than watching it the first time. Watching it, you know, in little pieces. There's a full was the trailer they showed. This is longer. Yeah, this is a full 2-minute trailer now on their YouTube page, which has even more stuff in it. It's a good looking game. There's a lot of different creative art styles, and there's a lot of hats in this game. I've noticed the hat coming up a bunch. Everybody's got hats. There's a hat store.
I love that in this Mario, you're seeing like the most realistic graphic style we've ever seen with Mario, and also the least realistic. You know, some of the worlds are very abstract and super cartoonish and just completely weird. And I like that they're just going all the way with that. You know, they're going to have a ton of variety, it looks like.
Well, it's the complete opposite to what we keep playing about with the side scrollers, the new Super Mario Brothers game, where it's the same aesthetic, you know, from DS to Wii U to mobile. Yeah. Here we've got this kaleidoscope of aesthetics in one game. I feel like that it will be kind of a tonic for Mario players to have this kind of variety.
And to give the discussion on the evolution of Nintendo hardware, the stitching on Mario's overalls is even more detailed than ever before.
That's like when the DK's fur got put in or whatever with the tropical freeze, wasn't it? It's like, it's furry.
The worlds are absolutely beautiful.
Oh, totally.
It looks tremendously interesting. It's just going to be a question of, you know, moment-to-moment gameplay, you know, game design. I think moment-to-moment gameplay looks really fun, but in terms of, like, structured challenges and all, how do you sort of nest those in these crazy worlds? So that's going to be the interesting kind of part of it. Because, like I said, this is not a nut that many, and indeed even Nintendo themselves, have tried to crack very recently. You know, like, it's all been about shrinking everything down and make it more manageable to make, like, cool, quick, fun challenges.
So Cody, beyond Mario and his unsettling double dutch with very tall women, what else is your thoughts coming out of the Super Mario Odyssey trailer?
I'm actually really surprised by how disjointed the graphics really looked at in the beginning of the video. It caught me a little bit off guard to see him go from, you know, New York or some kind of representation of a big city into
New Dunk City.
New Dunk City, wow.
Can we get that on a shirt?
Yeah.
I buy it.
Oh, yeah, ND.
And then, you know, then he goes to the desert town, which is, you know, a bit more silly and a little bit more you know, more, I guess, cartoonish would be the word to use. And then, you know, it just, there's really is a lot of different kind of varieties. And I'm kind of interested to see how far they go with the graphic styles that they go between each kind of area. And it seems that he rides some kind of hat ship, I guess, suppose.
Yep.
Yeah.
Ship. But let's call it a Chapeau ship.
There you go. That's the hat's name.
God. It might be.
Yeah.
He also rides a Sphinx at one point through the desert. There's a lot going on in this trailer. Like, watching it again, there is a lot going on in this trailer.
It's zany, which is what it needed to be.
Mm-hmm. I just don't get the part of the trailer where you have to answer geography questions to find Luigi. Like, what's up with that?
It's the spiritual successor to Mario is missing. Exactly. And they get edutainment credits for putting in geography stuff in there. I don't know. Watching it again. So this is my third time watching this trailer now. Every time they have him jump out of the sewer in the middle of New Donk City, I just get this weird like, oh, this is Smash Brothers vibe to it, because it seems so incredibly off and weird.
Yeah, the incongruity of styles, you know, the Smash Brothers, you get that with, you know, Shulk and Kirby together, you know, so that's kind of the vibe you get in here. But I like the whole Bowser throwing his hat as well.
Yeah,
it reminds me of the way that Bowser, you know, can use the cat bell power up in 3D World, and he can use the double cherry. Like, they seem to be doing the same thing again, where Bowser's actually sort of got access to whatever crazy thing has happened to Mario's hat.
There's one of the worlds has a very like cubist art style to it, which is actually really striking. You know, minimalist colors, but really harsh angles on everything. No rounded shapes at all. This is an animate forks with eyeballs.
That's the Banjo Kazooie world, right?
Yeah. Well, his hat's got everything's got eyeballs. All right, I can't watch this trailer anymore. I'm getting really upset. Are we surprised to see this is a holiday game?
No, I mean, I felt we talked about the possibilities of, you know, could they possibly get both Mario and Zelda at launch, and we felt they would be unlikely that they would, and, you know, it was kind of swung back and forth on which might get first, you know, but as it turns out, Zelda's going to be ready for launch, and, you know, given that, seems kind of natural to have Mario as the big hitter for that crucial, you know, will be the first holiday season for the console, even though it will have been on the market for, you know, 6 months plus.
It's for the best, I think. I mean, Zelda is the game that we already know more about. The hype for it has been building up for a much longer period of time.
Yeah.
And there's, you know, there's very good precedent for a Zelda game being a launch title and being very successful, as well as it being a dual platform release. So I think Nintendo, the fact that they can get it out there for launch. I mean, look, it's the only launch title of note so far that we know of. Yep. You know, you've got 1-2 Switch and ARMS and a few other things, including some third-party titles, but, you know, nothing super major that's really got a lot of name cachet. So having Zelda there is important. And, you know, guys, the new Zelda comes out in about 6 weeks.
Yeah, that's really that's wild. That is the most
about 6 weeks from
part.
Today.
The fact that, like, in some ways, you know, I was kind of thinking with the whole debate over whether, you know, is it going to be March 17th, is it going to be March 24th, or whatever, you know, it's like, does it really matter to anybody those few days? But now that it's, you know, a couple of weeks earlier than that and Zelda is at launch, it's like, yeah, that matters. I'm really glad. I'm very pleased that it's this close.
Yeah, you know, I came away more hyped from that trailer than I did previously. Just for some reason, that trailer, it totally jazzed me.
It was a superb Zelda trailer. Yeah, but, I mean, I will say that
the music, unbelievable.
And voice acting, guys, like, they I think they made a very big point to showcase several different characters speaking in different, like, voices. So
characters crying. I'm like, what?
It's
what
fully
is this?
Voice acted.
It's like, it's crazy.
I mean, not for Link, but, you know.
Yeah, but I mean,
that.
Just, I'm not used to that kind of, like, emotion in a Zelda game. You know, usually it's kind of all, you know.
Yeah, Twilight Princess tried.
Yeah.
Sure.
But
sure, yeah.
I will say about Zelda being a launch title, if Switch is extremely difficult to get, you're going to have a lot of Zelda fans up in arms. Because they're not going to want to play it on the Wii U. In fact, a lot of them probably don't even own Wii U's. And, I mean, there was no Zelda game for Wii U. There's no reason for them to ever buy one.
They've stopped making Wii U's. They've stopped supplying them. So
if you don't have a Wii U and you can't get a Switch on launch day because they run out, then you can't play the new Zelda. And that's going to be a shitstorm.
Oh yeah.
Well,
and
if
that would
someone
be
wants to buy
upsetting.
My Wii U for $1,000, I'll give you my eBay link.
Is that in Canadian dollars?
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Sure. But it will be enough to get a Switch.
Fair enough. Cody, any final thoughts on Mario before we let you go?
Sure. One thing that actually surprised me about Mario was actually how kinetic that he moved was the fact that, you know, he showed a lot of expression. He does a lot more movements, and the fact that it looks like they did take out some cards from the more acrobatic nature of Mario Run.
Hmm. I did notice.
Yeah, he was kind of pulling off like stylish moves. Yeah. I noticed that as well, but I'm not sure if it does anything or if it's actually, you know, if it increases your score, like in Mario Run, right? Like, does it do anything in this game? I guess we'll see.
Cool. All right.
All right. Well, thanks for joining us.
No, thanks for adding me. It was fun. I enjoy your guys' show. Right. Here's to 500 awesome. More episodes.
Oh, God.
Make him
do
it.
Oh, God.
You can do it, James.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
All right, so what was the next game they showed? Because I'm blanking on what came up.
We have to talk about Xenoblade.
We do have to talk about Xenoblade, but I don't know if that was the next one that came up.
A lot cheerier than we have to talk about Kevin, if you've seen that film.
yeah, Xenoblade 2, you know, the second Xenoblade game.
No. Hold on. Because it is a direct sequel to Xenoblade.
Is Xenoblade the American name is Xenoblade Chronicles 2, the English name, I should say.
Right. It is a direct sequel to that game.
Yeah.
Xenoblade X, or Xenoblade Chronicles X, is in no way, shape, or form a sequel to Xenoblade Chronicles. Because it's just a completely different environment, different game, different story. Also, it has mechs, and that's all that
Would
really matters.
Would you say it was a
game.
Whole different planet, even?
I was trying to actually not say. I was a test to see which one of you are monsters.
Failed. I took the cheese. I couldn't help it. You're a simple man, Greg.
I'm actually.
If I wasn't
going to
do it, you would have, John. If you paid attention.
I know. I'm sitting. Here refreshing the Best Buy page so I don't miss Zelda Master Edition.
Oh yeah, Zelda Master Edition. So I actually got an email that my Walmart pre-order got canceled, so I just flipped over and got a Best Buy one.
I've pre-ordered at Best Buy.
I did it both.
Fair enough. There we go.
No one can say I haven't learned my lesson.
It's true. Yeah, I didn't even dig out the audio for that, so
hey,
welcome.
I pre-ordered a Wii U. I mean, I was there on, you know, so.
You learned your lesson, unlearned your lesson, and now you're going to try to keep the lesson going.
Yeah.
So what did you think of the art style for the characters for Xenoblade?
You know,
because it's
anime
definitely
now.
More anime. Like,
yeah, sure.
They fixed those fucked up faces.
I'm
anime
very
now.
Happy about it.
Yep.
I
think it was great.
Yeah.
I'm super psyched for it. I was like, Monolith Soft, yes, I'm in. Yeah. Zelda, I'm in.
How ridiculous that they've got something to show like right now. It seems like Xenoblade Chronicles X was not that long ago, and supposedly they've been helping out on Zelda.
It was
in
Japan.
Yeah. I mean, they've got a lot of people at that company, and they've got multiple teams, and I would guess they've probably also brought in external help.
I think X came out in 2013 in Japan.
No, it wasn't that long ago. Thank you, Best
Maybe
Buy.
Like early 2014. I mean, it came out, December 2015 in the West, and it was a long time earlier than that it was out in Japan.
It came out in April of 2015 in Japan, and it came out in December everywhere else. So, I mean, the game's
only
been done
6 months difference? Yeah. Okay.
Right. But, you know, it's a that game was in development for a really long time, and this game looks like it's a lot further along than the first time we saw Xenoblade Chronicles X. Because remember, the first time we saw that game, it had a main character. This game obviously is much deeper into development. It's got there's story elements that were shown in there. There's some big things moving in the background that are really interesting, and I want to see more of them. I'm sitting here watching that trailer over and over and over again. It's a minute 53, and I've probably watched it 7 times now, because it's a really
good, multitasking.
Right? It's a really good trailer.
I guess the weird thing for me about this concept of a Xenoblade, a direct sequel to the original Xenoblade, is that the appealing part of that game was the world. Not without giving too much away, it gets substantially remade. How much can it really feel like you return into that world if it follows on narratively? I don't know.
Well, you need to know is that the Nopons are back. That's all.
They
I
were back in the other one.
Yeah, sure.
They
went somewhere else. Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird, like, how do you go from that game to a different game? I don't know. But I'm okay with finding out. Like, I want to know. So let's do this. Like, the idea of a sequel to that is dumb in a lot of ways, because as you said, it's we'll just call it literal ass Deus Ex Machina. At some point, I don't think they care, because if you got to the end of Xenoblade, you realize, like, no, there's no barriers. There's no storytelling barriers. We can do whatever we want. But, you know, I like the idea of them saying we're going to make another game in this world. They brought back some of the musical talent from that game. It does look more like Xenoblade, although obviously the art style is different. It does look like Xenoblade Chronicles more so than X, like the world itself. It's hard to describe it, just how it's organic in a different way, I guess is the best way of putting it. I don't know. I'm excited.
More fantastical, less alien sci-fi, I guess. I mean, you didn't see that much of it to make those sorts of judgments, but that's what I took away from the glimpses we had.
Yeah, like I'm excited to see what that game ends up being. It is much more cartoony than either of its predecessors. Significantly more so. But, you know, I'm excited to see it. Like, I want to see more of that game. Preferably.
I can't wait to see all the weird systems that they add on that I never really understand after 100 hours.
That they never, ever, ever explain? Or in the case of Xenoblade Chronicles X, they explain in exceptionally exhausting detail to the point where you're never going to read it. But, you know, that's okay. I'm okay with all of that. Like I like it.
They didn't give even a whiff of a launch date for that, did they? I mean, I'm talking like a year.
2015, I think.
20 What?
It's so 2017. I'm tired and confused and trying to do 100 things right now. Let's go ask the chat. Has they said so in Japan? Xenoblade Chronicles 2 in 2017 is what we are hearing from Seren right now.
Ooh. Well.
This year. That's hard to believe.
Yeah, I find
maybe
that
in Japan.
Too,
maybe
we'll
in Japan.
See.
But
yeah, that's true.
If it legitimately is this year, shut up, phone. If it legitimately is this year, I am super, super, super excited and very
well, and of course, you know, this gives us, you know, with the prospect that if that was in 2017 Japan, you'd have to think it could be at least 6 months until it gets anywhere else. But sure, you know, region free, it's been rumored for a while, but you know, they confirmed it, and that's a positive step.
I mean, the original game was in English right out of the gate, right? So
I don't think so.
wasn't it?
No.
The European release was. I mean, well.
Oh, wasn't in it, Europe. Yes.
If there was a repeat of that sort of situation, yes. Then, you know, the import in the European version would be, you know, you wouldn't have to do the whole homebrew channel type of workarounds or whatever. You just buy it. Point and be done with it.
But I would hope that that nonsense is never going to happen again.
If they've been planning it for worldwide release since day one, then it could very well be that they have it already translated and everything, and they're working, you know, in lockstep to get it out on the same day.
That would be nice.
Yeah.
Can I throw out some random tidbits for you guys from the games page, the upcoming games page? You just react if you want to any of this. 1-2 Switch is $49.99.
More than I expected.
Yep.
Nope. I'll pass.
Mario Kart 8 Deluxe coming out April 28th is $59.99.
I assume it involves all of the DLC that already exists plus more stuff.
You can only imagine, but that's a hard pill to swallow for those of us who already spent about $80 on that game.
Oh yeah. Absolutely.
And then Skyrim's coming out in fall 2017.
Great, timely.
Yeah.
Thank you, Todd. Timely. Thank you, Todd-san.
Yeah.
ARMS is also $59.99, which I find interesting because what they showed of ARMS, as much as I think it looks very cool and very interesting, it seems pretty simple. You know, it's
sure.
What they showed is only one-on-one fights in like bland arenas. So very very similar characters. So what is the depth there outside of the mechanics? I mean, are there different characters with different abilities? Are there different arenas with obstacles and things that you have to work around? Are there different modes? I mean, it just looks like one-on-one fighting, and that's a little hard to justify for $60, I think.
I agree.
Yeah, I want to know.
Unless there's a lot more variety to it.
I want to know what the single player stuff of that is, because that and Splatoon 2, because Splatoon had a really cool single player mode, but it was very short.
They didn't say anything about that for Splatoon 2.
Love to know more about that. But
speaking of Splatoon 2, are we surprised to see that it's a full sequel and that just, you know, a deluxe like Mario Kart 8?
I'm happy.
I'm very happy. It's I don't know. Like, I think what they've shown is amazing. Like, they've shown so many cool things that I wished were in the first game. Like, the ink lines are now, you know, in the multiplayer stages. So I'm all in favor for that. The new kind of super weapons look amazing. You can literally make it rain paint. You've got like that jetpack. You've got that ink jetpack that looks so much fun to use.
Yeah.
And you've got like new dash moves and rolls and stuff like that. Yeah. It looks so much better than I expected.
I'm actually really looking forward to seeing what that game is beyond what they've showed. Like, how much are they doing to make this a 2 and not just more DLC?
They did kind of hint that there's a lot more of that to show.
Yeah.
And then it'll be similar content rollout to the first game as well. You know, that it's not something that's just going to be kind of, a complete package and then you're done with it. You know, they're going to roll it out over time.
Yeah. What other games? You got the game page in front of you, Johnny?
I do. There's something called Snipper Clips, which looks a whole lot like, what was that game, Freaky Forms, that we liked so much on?
Oh, God.
Yeah, it looks a lot like that. It's a $20 game.
Okay. Yeah, but it also looks more, I don't know, I don't think it looks like Freaky Forms. I think it reminds me of that Napnot game. What am I thinking of? What was it called? Touch Party or?
Touch Fuzzy.
I've got no idea. The game that was kind of meant to make you feel uncomfortable playing mini games with a gamepad.
Speaking of games,
oh, Bumpy's Party.
Make you
Bumpy's
feel
Party.
Uncomfortable.
Hi, Seren.
Bumpy's Party.
Hey, Seren.
Yeah, that's what it reminded me of.
That's how Seren gets introduced to the show.
Perfect timing.
Hey, Seren, literally... can you turn up your microphone a little bit?
Yeah, one sec.
Yeah, sure. So in that game, like that they showed, like they had literally like the two characters kind of, you know, kind of stuck one inside the other and making weird faces. It was, I don't know, I felt uncomfortable. It just felt wrong to watch.
So we've got now two Switch games that are referencing Bumpy's Party. What there a night.
Go. Good. What a time to be alive.
It's, I don't know. It's the way it should be, in my opinion.
So, Saran, you're one of the many channels that information is being thrown at me right now, so I figured it'd be easier if I just had you on here.
That's fine.
What dumb things have we said that are totally wrong that you can correct the record on, please?
Okay, so the voice chat is done through the smartphone app, not the system.
I was going to bring that up earlier, and then I forgot. Too much happening. So
all of their online services are being handled through their smartphone app.
That's weird. I guess
that's a decent solution, honestly.
The way that their free game works with their paid platform is similar to PS Plus. You can claim the game, and then you have it.
As long as
you're a subscriber.
Okay.
And it will be NES and Super Nintendo games, and where applicable, they will have online multiplayer. And I believe the goal there is to have, because they just added online multiplayer to all their virtual console games, you might never find a match in an obscure game. So right. I believe their theory is by giving it to a ton of players all at once, then during that month you will actually find online communities.
Right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Saren, do you have anything to announce tonight?
Well, I've already announced Monte Corona for the Switch. I can reiterate 2017. I will say second half of 2017, and I will say it is a joy of a platform to develop for. It is really so easy to get everything I want done. The Joy-Con are actually the best controllers I've ever used.
Can you elaborate on that?
Sure. So the motion sensitivity is more akin to a Vive Wand or an Oculus Touch controller than PS Move or Wii Remote Plus or anything like that. So they were, like, anything that had motion on that stage was not staged. And the HD Rumble, I am actually using HD Rumble in Monte Crono on Switch, and it makes a difference.
We were talking during the presentation. You said that their analogy with the ice cubes is pretty apt.
It is.
So what I would imagine with them describing that is Rumble is just like it's pulsing. Maybe it pulses at different intensities, but that feels more like a knocking, like something bangs against the side of something. Is that kind of what they're talking about?
Yeah. So what they were saying with the ice cube is if you have one ice cube in, and you tilt the Joy-Con to the left, you'll hear a thud. You'll feel a thud at the bottom of the controller. And if you have three, you'll feel three separate thuds in three different parts of the controller that all rumble with each other as they would vibrate, and then you can feel it like the low motor rolling up with water, and then you can tilt it to drink it, and then feel there be less in the Joy-Con. There's actually in 1-2 Switch, there is a mini game called Eating Contest, which has to do with this.
What on earth?
And the rock, paper, scissors thing is 100%. It is a small range, but it is similar technology to what's in Kinect 2.0 in terms of you can just put your hand in any gesture in front of it, and it can immediately map it into the software.
Saren, can you tell us whether the infrared thing could be used like a Wii Remote sensor kind of pointing device?
It could. It would not back if you're thinking backwards
That's
compatibility.
Different kind of tech, I know, but
if you're thinking backwards compatibility, that would be a hassle to bridge the API, but it could be done.
I'm more thinking, you know, people have talked about how you wouldn't be able to use the touchscreen while the system is docked, and that maybe the infrared thing is kind of a replacement for that. So you could maybe paint a cursor up on the TV and use that to correspond. I don't know how practical that is with the range.
You could. That would not be optimal. Okay. I don't want to speak to Nintendo's unannounced or theoretical software too much right now, but
yeah.
A mechanic like that could be possible, but it would not be optimal. That's not what the system is inherently designed for.
Okay.
It's not all built right to be a pointer, but you might be able to fake it out, basically.
So then the touchscreen, we should assume, is really only for when you're not docked.
Yes, because when you are docked, it is touch, because it is cheaper to make a touch screen on that thing than a display screen on that thing in 2017.
Would Nintendo let you make a touchscreen game that could not be played while docked?
I can't answer that question. I'm sorry.
Okay.
You're asking. I will say you're thinking the right kinds of questions.
Okay.
So that's, Breath of the Wild went up and then down again on Amazon. Now it's unavailable.
God.
Okay. You can download it.
But
you don't need to pre-order video games. It's 2017.
You can't get the Legendary Edition that John was looking for with the cat helmet.
Yeah, I'm on that. Yeah, it's also, are you kidding? Dude, that shit has a Master Sword statue.
It does.
So fuck off.
Yes, 36 gigs for the Switch version, 15 gigs for the Wii U.
I can't name the episode "Fuck Off, That's Hot," can I? Is that beyond the realm of good taste?
No, you can't.
The Master Sword is hot. How's about that?
New Donk City, fuck off, it's hot.
New Donk City is all about the community.
I keep thinking about New Jack City, and that just makes me laugh so hard.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah.
The
fidelity of the Joy-Con. I have a couple Joy-Con questions. How well does it map motion? And we talked about, you said it's better than the Wii Motion Plus, but in what way?
Are the specs out on the Switch website yet?
I don't mean from a technical standpoint, just in actual, like, your experience using it.
I have not been able to find those for the motion controls.
I'm sure they're out yet.
If the specs aren't out, I can't talk from a technical perspective. I hope you understand. I'm sorry.
I don't mean from a technical perspective. I mean just I don't mean like how is it better. I'm just like how does it, like, when you say it feels better,
arms.
What does that mean? Yes.
Like arms.
Yes. Let's talk about arms.
Arms is legit. I experienced a demo of arms, and mostly of the tech, and the fact that I can punch my right arm forward and then curve it slightly to the right, and then as you would expect, like the boxing glove on the spring would curve to the right and hit the enemy as they're moving to their left and I hit them, because I made a subtle wrist, like a very subtle wrist motion. Like I'm talking subtle, like Wii Motion Plus Wii Motion Plus is great, but it would not be able to detect, it doesn't detect subtlety as much. Like, think Skyward Sword. Like, you have to, like, fully rotate your wrist.
Mm.
This is, like, no, it will detect a 5-degree angle that you change mid-thrust, and it will, in real time, react in the software.
Oof. So, like, in arms, you could throw a punch and then basically guide it by manipulating.
Yes.
Ooh.
All in real time, and with the most accuracy with exactly the amount of accuracy I expected and hoped for.
How often do you have to calibrate that?
Have they announced?
I haven't said any. They have not used the word calibrate. I'm just thinking back to Skyward Sword and
all that stuff. It's not Wiimote. It is closer to the amount of recalibration you will need on virtual reality controllers.
Okay.
Which is not as much.
Those are using external sensors, so they're kind of continuously calibrated.
So, real quick, before any other questions, I just saw this. This is the full North American launch lineup, as best I can tell.
Do it.
1-2 Switch, Disgaea 5 complete.
Yeah!
Has been Heroes, I Am Setsuna, Just Dance 2017, Puyo Puyo Tetris, Rayman Legends Definitive Edition, Skylanders Imaginators, Snipperclips, Steep, Super Bomberman R, and The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild.
There are a handful of titles there that I'm actually legitimately interested in. I'm pleased to see that Tokyo RPG Factories, I'm soon as going to get another place. Know it's decently well regarded. I was interested to see that the game that they announced later, that Square Enix announced, was not their game, at least not according to Nintendo, who keeps calling it from the makers of Bravely Default.
Yes.
You're talking about Orthopath?
I refuse Octopath. To say that fucking name. That's too much. That's
Orthopath.
That's just
that bizarre.
Yeah. So that's a really cool visual.
The art style,
look, though.
It is
crazy.
Yeah. That's also Tokyo RPG Factory was founded to create comfort food JRPGs that scratch a retro itch while bringing something new to the table. I Am Setsuna, they made in about a year. This is their second project.
Cool.
The studio was made directly because of the Western response to Bravely Default.
I see.
Because they were like, wow, there's a market. We're going to spin up a whole studio dedicated to turning around mid-tier RPGs that aren't going to have huge marketing budgets, but will have an audience.
Mm.
So I'm just trying to see what else I'm finding. The Street Fighter game is vague 2017.
Right, so, and it's sort of new version, right?
Yes, like it is Street Fight. It is Ultra Street Fighter 2: The Final Challenge. I believe is the full name. It is.
I think that's a credible claim. To be honest.
It is Street Fighter 2 with all the content. I believe they've said all the content across every version of that game, plus new content, plus online, plus local, plus some new stuff. They're going to have it on Treehouse.
There's a screenshot that shows Evil Ryu versus Violent Ken. I'm looking forward to irritated Cammy and annoyed.
Other things you've already named your horses in Pocket Car Jockey.
Yes.
My concern with that Street Fighter game is that it seems like such a perfect fit for the way the system plays, where you can just break off the controllers and hand one to somebody and say, hey, let's play Street Fighter. But then you're playing Street Fighter with that controller.
And
that does not sound good.
If you have the strap on, it feels really good. It feels really good, and I have really large hands, such that I needed to expand the size of my new Nintendo 3DS XL. But I'm not joking there.
Anyway,
James,
you did. Yeah, I think my brain
gave it 22 hours of battery life.
That thing. Yeah.
So it does feel comfortable when you have the strap attachment to it, which also pops out the shoulder buttons. So then you get four face buttons and two shoulder buttons. The only issue is the analog stick instead of like a D-pad or arcade stick. But
so how does that feel with that thing? Like the shoulder, they said the shoulder buttons are much more accessible, and it didn't seem to make it that much bigger, but
it rounds it out significantly. If you look at the picture without it, it's like a really harsh edge.
Yeah, it is.
Like if you look at the Joy-Con without it, like it's a rounded on one side, and then just like it's like they chopped it off, and then they just added a little bit of buffer with the hooks, and then the SL SR buttons.
Mm-hmm.
S being side, Z being whatever. But you do get an L and a ZL or an R and a ZR, and the triggers are analog. But the SL SR, you get that as well with the strap, and it just makes the whole thing feel a lot more ergonomic. Just in general. Like, it takes getting used to play with just one Joy-Con. Playing with one in each hand is my favorite way to play. Either on the sides of the system in the Joy-Con grip, or just held like a wireless Wii Remote nunchuck style.
Yeah.
Did you get to try the Pro Controller?
Yeah.
Can you compare that to other Pro controllers?
This one has motion control, HD rumble, and has a lesser battery life than the Wii U Pro controller, but still a very good battery life. Like, very good battery life. It's just not 90 hours.
Does it feel good?
Yes, it feels great.
How did the Joy-Cons in the Joy-Con holder feel?
Compact.
Okay, yeah,
an inch wider, but it's not, but that's fine.
It looks kind of bulky, like it very like almost like a rectangle, like you're holding a box.
The grip on the bottom is what alleviates that.
Okay.
If like when you hold it looks like it's a rectangle on the front, but the parts that you're actually holding feel like a 360 controller.
Gotcha. Anything else that we've just completely screwed the pooch on that we need to be corrected?
Or
any other NWR news stories you want to write on the front page right now?
I'm trying to think of what I can say. What are your thoughts? The fact that, I mean, you've commented on the fact that you have a new Zelda in 6 weeks, but like, what are your thoughts about that game seemingly being done? Like, do you have any impressions?
It's
like,
about
impressions
damn books? Time.
Yeah, it's only been delayed twice. People think it's been delayed like 7 times. It's been delayed exactly twice.
Yeah, it just lived a long time without a release date.
Yeah,
because they spoke about it so soon.
Yes,
just a new moment, sort of vague aspirations. Yes,
we are making a Zelda.
Yes. In 2013, they said we are making a Zelda. In 2014, they showed the first visual and said 2015. In 2015. About midway, they said 2016. At the very beginning of 2016, they said, nope, it's not happening this year, 2017.
It's been a long time since Skyward Sword.
Skyward Sword?
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yep.
Been a long time.
Wind Waker HD was originally released and made as an apology for this game was going to take a while. Wind Waker HD is
summer of 2013. Summer of 2013. Do you know how many Bills head coaches that was ago?
Like, if you watched the 2013 Direct, I watched that infamous 2013 Direct a few days ago. It holds up. It's pretty funny.
Talking
about Virtual Console.
You know,
apologies that Virtual Console will take a few months.
I they didn't mention Virtual Console at all during this presentation, except for that very brief mention about that. Actually, isn't even on it wasn't even mentioned. It's on their website.
No. Yeah, it's on their website. Yeah.
So we remain in the dark on what Virtual Console's future is.
So this is speaking. I can theorize on this. I'm actually able to theorize on VC publicly. My theory. This is an educated guess that I can't say how it's educated, but I won't. This isn't a leak. This isn't a rumor. Yeah. It's a theory from me. My theory is, Wii Virtual Console, not Wii U, Wii Virtual Console to Switch, they can't detect. The only reason they could detect on Wii was because of Wii U is because of Wii Mode.
Right.
My theory is, if you bought it on 3D, if you bought like Super Mario Brothers on 3DS, you will be able to upgrade at a discount on Switch. If you bought it on Wii U, you'll be able to upgrade for a discount. If you bought it on 3DS and Wii U, you'll get it for free on Switch. That's my theory.
Okay.
Is because they can track. They have tied to your My Nintendo account is your entire 3DS purchase history and your entire Wii U purchase history, but not your Wii purchase history. So I imagine that it's upgrade if you bought it on one, but if you've been a loyal customer and bought it on both, and they can track how much if you've bought it on both, then I imagine... They hopefully wouldn't make you upgrade if you've upgraded from the Wii to the Wii U and bought it on 3DS.
Yeah.
That is a theory.
I feel like answering those Club Nintendo surveys just entitles me to free games forever. Yeah, I don't know. I put in the work, damn it.
How do you feel about this game on a scale of 1 to 5?
They do know a lot of the games that we bought on the Wii because of Club Nintendo, through that system, but I'll just say if what you're describing is true, it'd be a big disappointment to me because there's way more Virtual Console stuff on Wii than either of the two current systems.
Absolutely.
Way better, and that's where
Club
I say
Nintendo data didn't
probably
migrate.
Over $1,000.
Yeah, Club Nintendo data didn't migrate. I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
My Nintendo does not have access to your Club Nintendo information. Those are two completely separate services on whole separate Anyways.
Right.
Yes, but the Wii, the actual difference between the Wii and Wii U virtual consoles, when you look at it by what games, the biggest actual difference is that Sega didn't play ball on Wii U. That's the actual biggest difference, is that Genesis and Master System and all of Sega's games are completely absent. So when the entire Genesis library and Master System libraries are absent, that's about 100 games that the Wii had that the Wii will not have, because Sega decided to handle re-releasing their old games themselves.
Well, also the N64 stuff just isn't nearly as well represented on Wii.
It's close.
It's getting close now. With F-Zero X coming out in the States today,
and Pokemon Snap taking 4 years. Yeah.
Pokemon Snap, but like, there still isn't like Smash 64, or you know, there's still significant omissions. But
yes,
like it was never huge on Wii.
There were only there were only like 22 or something N64 games on Wii. Most of them, not all the important ones, but most of the number of games are on the Wii U Virtual Console.
I'm still waiting for Bomberman World or whatever that game's called.
Konami barely playing ball. You get PC Engine, but you get 3 games. The actual issues on the Wii U Virtual Console, I mean, emulation is bad, but like the actual issues with release outside of Nintendo not knowing how to do a good release schedule, the biggest thing you can point to is fewer platform holders played ball.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And I don't think Sega comes back and and gives them Genesis VC on Switch if they didn't on Wii U and 3DS.
Now, okay, so explain that to me. Why would they not play ball on Wii U? Was it the low console sales? Because surely they can't be looking at this. So what was it then, do you think?
So, I mean, look at Steam. Look at the Genesis Arcade Collection. Look at, like, when they sell it themselves directly, or when they release a title like Sega 3D Classics on 3DS, they are getting publishing money. Yeah. They are not publishing on Virtual Console. They are licensing on Virtual Console.
Right. They license the games to Nintendo to publish, or something along those lines.
Also, on top of that, Nintendo decides what games they want. Natsume has about, they've said publicly, they have about a dozen games they want on the Wii U and 3DS Virtual Console, but Nintendo hasn't approached them, so they're boned.
That's a bad Nintendo,
that sucks. That is.
The way Nintendo handles
really
VC seemingly is they choose the games, they approach the publisher plays ball or not. And so they are light. So the reason Sega wouldn't play ball with their entire system is also because they're partially involved in the emulation. So they have to co-create the emulator so that they can license games that Nintendo wants, or they can sell them on their own terms.
Yeah.
So Sega does not want to play ball on VC anymore.
Yep. So that's frustrating. You would think that Nintendo would have something that would be a lot more friendly, like effectively just almost like an API that they can write to emulate their games with.
Mm. Yeah.
Well, Sega discovered
that anybody
Steam
can do
also.
It. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, that's the thing. Sega is selling all of their old games on Steam very successfully, and they have 3 in Japan, 3 separate 3D Classics collections, as well as 1 cartridge that is all 3 Sega 3D Classics collections. They sold those games piecemeal, and those games did extraordinarily well. M2 does great work, but like, do they want to hire M2 to create a Wii U Genesis/Mega Drive emulator so that Nintendo can ask them, can we release Sonic the Hedgehog 3? And Sega's like, sure, can you release these other 2 dozen games? And Nintendo's like, we'll get back to you.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, how many Golden Axe sequels does Nintendo want on the Virtual Console? Probably 1. Probably Golden Axe, and then walk away. But Sega probably...
You say that a Street Fighter 2 gets all 3 versions released at the same time on both 3DS and Wii U.
Because one's Street Fighter, one's Golden Axe.
Hey, can I change the topic? There's a game that we haven't talked about yet, and while Seren's on the call, I feel like we should...
Fire Emblem Musou?
Yes.
Hell yes.
Yeah, so we got double Musou, triple Musou'd, really, because we got the Double Dragon Quest Warriors.
Yeah. So there were a few things I heard in the couple days leading up to this. I heard, for sure, I heard Negoshi and Suda51 are there. I heard.
I mean, they were, but not really.
I heard Fire Emblem Musou. I heard Xenoblade Chronicles 2, and I heard Shin Megami Tensei game. And I was considering warning James, and I was like, his reaction is going to be way better when Negoshi walks out.
Yeah.
So the best part was,
that key unlocks?
Oh, it unlocks. It probably unlocks his fake Yakuza vault.
I don't know. Have you seen his back tattoos?
I was in the chat, and like I could tell that, you know, our audience is very Nintendo centric, and they probably didn't recognize him. This is the man where if you go look at him back when he was discussing the first Yakuza, looks like a normal Japanese developer, and now he looks like a Japanese street thug. He's been in that series too long. He walked out on stage, and I started hyperventilating. So I thought, oh no, what have they done?
The best thing is he just walked out and like talked and then left, and I want to
make a game for
that's
this.
That's awesome. That makes no sense.
What was pertinent about that?
I guess it's just that to let us know that maybe that series is going to come to the Switch.
The current status of the Yakuza series, and by the way, what I was going to say before real quick is that in the process of making the Yakuza series, he got Yakuza back tattoos, and tattoos are taboo in Japan because they mean you're part of the Yakuza. So,
He's a lunatic.
He is a lunatic. But so the way the series is in North America is Zero is coming out on PS4 in like 2 weeks, and then they've announced the remake of 1 in the summer, and then Yakuza 6 is coming out in 2018 in the West. But in Japan, Yakuza 6, which concluded the storylines that's been continuing over every single Yakuza game except for that zombie one since 2004, 2005, that story just ended. So what he actually went up to say, and he's been talking about this in interviews for the last while, is like, I want to make a game with the spirit of Yakuza that's not tied down by the restraints of the Yakuza series.
The restraints of the Yakuza series.
So what that stage presence meant to me is, I'm going to make a game more insane than the Yakuza series, and Switch is one of the platforms. That is what that appearance meant.
As exciting as that sounds, all I could think about when I saw him was, this is the perfect platform to revive Super Monkey Ball.
That's true.
So
the stretchy robot arms in arms reminded me of Monkey Fight.
Yeah.
I'm getting asked questions in the chat, yes?
Yeah, so actually GX had a question. Conversations in the chat here were super salty when the motion control games came up. While Nintendo has been more limited in motion controls with the Wii U, do you feel that the game buyers are going to get really bothered by that by that being emphasized at all? Does this seem like something that is appealing to anything approaching a Blue Ocean strategy at all? Speaking as a group, I think when we talked about those games, we kind of were like, these are weird. But you know, they have been using motion control just more judiciously. I mean, they made it clear Splatoon's ideal way to play it is motion controlled.
Yes.
They made a Star
and
Fox
motion
game.
Controls are back in the Splatoon 2.
Yep, they made a Star Fox game driven by motion controls, and we can discuss, you know, the wisdom of that, but they did it.
Yeah. The 1-2 Switch and ARMS are the two games are those the two games that focus the most on motion control that they've announced? Yes.
I mean, they were the only ones that they really showed the motion control at all.
So, both, specifically 1-2 Switch, but also ARMS to an extent, are for the, let's call it rooftop party scenario, where they literally showed the scenario where you would play Johann Sebastian Joust, and if you think that game wasn't creative led by someone who was a fan of that game, you don't know what you're talking about. The idea of that game is, here's a console that can be taken portably. I'm going to a party with some friends who might not, you know, they played Wii, they've played, you know, older games. They're not bad at games, but they aren't in the industry like I am. So you bring it with you in your backpack. You just set it up after dinner or outside or whatever, and you're just like, look, this is how we're going to play this game. I can explain the rules to you in two sentences. It's immediately apparent to everyone else. It is Wii Sports, but it's not trying to sell or define the system. It's trying to be there for that community, for that kind of stuff, except it's Wii Sports that you can take in your backpack and just take out and play.
Infinitely more portable than Wii Sports, which is a big deal in like that party setting.
Yes, that is what especially 1-2 Switch, that is what that is for. That is not to define the system. Showing that game first was probably a mistake.
Yeah, but you know,
I think, agree with that.
You know, I think maybe it set a bad tone, but I think it did explain what the Joy-Cons do. Like they spent a significant amount of time explaining why they're different. I think that game did a good job of demonstrating it.
And arms for the same thing. But I mean, if you think about it in this term, you know, they wanted to start with a launch game, but they had to hold Zelda till the end.
Right.
So that leaves them talking about 1-2 Switch.
Launch games.
In the beginning. That's their biggest launch game after Zelda.
Yeah, I would have led with... I honestly would have... This is weird and stupid, but I would have led with Mario Kart 8.
Yeah.
Which wasn't in that.
I'm surprised that's not a launch title.
Because that's an easy title to explain, just like... Because you were talking about the online services... Just go from talking about the online services to, and you'll be able to use it in games like Mario Kart 8 in its new battle mode, which is also coming to Switch. And then you'll also have confirmed that game exists outside of the montages.
Yeah, and everybody knows Mario Kart. Mario Kart's an easy sell on people.
No, it's the biggest seller in the past generation. So, it's a very obvious thing to lead with from that point of view.
Mm-hmm. I think Nintendo knows whether... Yeah, no, that's important. But if Nintendo wants, I think Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. If Nintendo knows that we bought it on Wii U, then they should give us a pretty significant discount on Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
I would imagine that there is probably something in place to give you discount either through My Nintendo coupon. Because that's the system they're pushing, because it makes you also sign up for a My Nintendo account. I would imagine that they would give you at least a 30% off coupon digitally, at least.
Yeah, that's what it's going to take for me to buy it, because I can't drop $60 on Mario Kart 8. No. I've already spent a lot of money on that game.
Yeah, me too.
I would say expect no lower than 20%, expect no higher than 40% off.
All right, we are running kind of long. What other games do we want to talk about real quick? So, like, I personally...
Shin Megami Tensei.
Super Bomberman R.
I'm so happy about that.
We'll start with Shin Megami Tensei. I've gotten questions from the chat, and I've tried to answer them, but you know, you're here. We can talk about it.
Yes.
Why is it running Unreal?
So, same reason Kingdom Hearts and Final Fantasy VII Remake are. They're running it on modern console. They're trying to get it to look great with new lighting engine and to smooth out development time. And the 3DS engine worked great, but the 3DS has about 40 megabytes of usable RAM.
Right.
And the Switch is 240p. And the Switch is 720p handheld, 1080p docked. They officially confirmed that, by the way.
Yeah.
That's exactly what the power clocking does. You put it in, it clocks up the chips, and it outputs at 1080. Mm-hmm. And so UE4, one, already has Switch support. Two, is an easy-to-understand engine. Three is a relatively portable engine. If this Switch game does not, if it's coming to more platforms, or if the Switch version don't pan out, and it just generally lets them focus on the assets. And like you saw that Odin, and compare that to the 2D, 500 pixel tall sprite from SMT4 Apocalypse from last year. That shit looked hot.
Yeah. The other way of questioning it versus using a custom engine, and the answer is because custom engines take a lot of work.
Because Persona 5 was on a custom engine. Look how long that development took.
Oh, and it's a custom engine for PS4.
So. Yes, and P6, I know it's a Nintendo, so I'll just quickly say for reference, as we're talking about custom engines, P6 is getting announced this year. They've already said that. P5 took years and years and years to make, and all the retrospectives on that game are talking about the hell of making that engine from scratch and then adding PS4 as a platform. But now that they have the engine, they're cranking out a new game in a showable state in under a year. That's right. Why they went with UE4.
Right. They don't want to deal with that shit again.
Nope.
So we talked about Octopath Traveler. Stupid fucking name. Project Octopath Traveler.
It's not even official yet, guys.
I might have taken the wrong lessons from the success of Bravely Default.
No, I think I look forward to Project Octopath Traveler 2 RE Project. It's a soft remake.
I think that game looks like, hey, didn't you think Final Fantasy VI looked cool?
Hell yeah.
And I did.
I mean, we saw next to nothing about it. It looked a little bit even more scaled back than the Bravely Default games in terms of what's there. Obviously more detailed, but like in terms of drawing the background and the assets, it seems like they regressed it down to an even more like this is a diorama of a video game world and you are moving through it kind of approach, at least from what we saw. You know, I'm very curious to see where they go with that. Like I said, I already mentioned, I'm happy to see that they're also going to be bringing in I Am Setsuna. I mean, this was a very Japanese focused event. I mean, granted, it was in Japan, obviously, but the games they showed, you know, we talked about it, they showed Disgaea. They brought out Nagoshi, who just had a huge game launch in Japan. Although, they brought out Suda. They brought out, who else they have involved out there? Like this was a Japan centric thing. So seeing that at least the Japanese publishers are on board is good.
Yes, in a big way.
Yeah, I mean Square Enix had 5 games effectively because they've got multiple Dragon Quest games, and then these other 2 games. It was good to see, and to see a diversity of the companies present. I want to know more about Dragon Quest. What Dragon Quest are we talking about? The new one. 11?
11.
Yeah, so it does appear that it is the PS4 game. It is the
PS4 game, and it is still not announced for the West. They made that very clear.
Yes. Why? Why are they just waiting? Anyway. Any other games we want to talk about?
Bomberman. I don't really know anything about that game, but I love Bomberman.
It's the first new Bomberman in a long time.
The thing is, the suffix R throws back to the early WiiWare era, if you remember Star Soldier R. You know, some of the other, the Hudson games, you know, they were getting these sort of little downloadable versions. You know, Star Soldier R was just the Score Attack sort of section, kind of like the old tournament type of play that they used to have for shooters back then, rather than kind of a full campaign kind of shooter and all that. So I don't know whether that suggests something about the scope of this Bomberman game or whether they just like that suffix.
I would hazard a guess. I don't know any more than you do. I would hazard a guess that it's closer to the WiiWare Bomberman.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, just
it
the fact
that it looks very classic style.
Bomberman. Bomberman.
It's a
30-second
trailer.
Bomberman being alive is a good feeling.
Yeah, Bomberman is alive. Where's Mega Man?
Oh, I just found a beautiful typo. I'm putting it in the chat just so you can all see what I'm talking about. Now, Bomberman is coming back as Super Bomberman R to Nintendo Switch.
Oh, no.
Thanks,
oh, no.
Guys.
Nintendo Switch.
And that...
That's
Nintendo Switch. That's the episode title.
Oh man.
Pitching the Nintendo Switch.
The I'm God damn it.
Yeah.
Not, it's, off my game.
It's a slow boil. Yeah, it's a
it was also thinker. It's also 2 a.m, John. Everything's a slow boil right now. I'm trying to run a show and also get like 19 messages in the Skype chat and Twitter, and this isn't working. So lesson learned.
Bomberman this is... features photo real graphics.
Photo real graphics. That was
die.
A phrase written by Konami Japan.
Also, enriched story with all-star voice actors. That's nice. That's definitely what I need in Bomberman.
Act zero. No. Act one. Act one. Act one.
Why is it enriched story with all-star voice? What is an all-star voice actor for Bomberman?
I can't wait for this.
Oh,
I cannot.
This is so stupid. Oh, I'm... There was a lot of just semi-glorious idiocy that took place tonight. And not you know there's two brands of it. There's the just like, you, what the fuck were you thinking? And then there's the, oh, what the fuck are you on? And it was much yeah. more the second, like, what are you on right now?
I like the part where Koizumi went to space for about 5 seconds for no reason.
Yeah. Yeah. Just came back, traveled to the galaxy themed new 3DS. It was glorious.
Why
was
and then where he lay down on the couch too, or on the couch. Oh, that was
yeah.
amazing.
Oh, yeah, he reclined.
I was like, what is he doing? Why is this happening right now? And then he just gets back up again. Like, yeah, see, I can lay down on the couch. And
I
want to
introduce you all.
What are you going to do about it?
I want to introduce you all to the dark feature where Koizumi is doing all of their press conferences going forward. And,
this is
what they're going to turn into.
He's slightly more charismatic than Mr. Kimishima.
Yes.
He's gonna start practicing quick changes of his wardrobe. Oh.
Yeah.
What would you, if I had to give you one word to describe the presentation style of tonight, what would you use for it?
Sassy.
Confusing.
Muddled. That would be my word, muddled. I think it was kind of everything that the 3-minute video wasn't. You know, it was obviously a lot longer and had details and stuff, but it was also, you know, the message discipline was not really there. I feel like, you know, there was kind of too much time, I feel like, it trying to explain stuff that just doesn't come across very well in that format, which is, you know, kind of some of the reason we think they've moved away from these sorts of events. You know, what the directs kind of do better rather than this, you know, men on stage format. I think it isn't a great format for them, and obviously for us as, you know, native, you know, as English speakers, it had this additional layer of weirdness because of you know, being live interpreted as so. Yeah, I feel like it was muddled, and I guess the biggest question I've come away with it from, you know, vis-a-vis the price, is you have to wonder these sort of these extra sort of things in the Joy-Con, if that's contributed to the price of the system being more expensive, is that a mistake akin to the gamepad being a millstone around the Wii U's neck? So that's what concerns me. Is that
those,
you know,
controllers are $50 a piece?
Will they provide? You know, the tech in there might be, you know, sort of cool and fun to play around with and stuff. But, you know, I think there was elements of that with the Wii U gamepad. But ultimately, you know, consumers didn't perceive the value added relative to the price. And I feel there's a risk of there being a repeat of that here.
My hope is that the prices of these accessories do come down over time, because they do seem really high.
It will be way easier for the Switch to come down in price relative to the Wii U. There is a reason that the Wii U is still $299.99, because they are taking a loss on every Wii U sold to this day. They have never made a penny on a Wii U.
Yeah,
the gift that keeps on giving.
The gamepad, while it was being manufactured, the gamepad cost about roughly $95 per unit just to make, parts and labor. The system was about $140 to $150. Then they ship, then retailer cut.
Well, yeah, and you think about you think about you get cheaper by making more of them and by learning from making more of them and improving your product line. Well, they stopped making Wii U's a long time ago. They never had the time to iterate.
They almost made roughly a 1-to-1 ratio of gamepads to consoles, because two gamepad games never happened, as much as I asked Nintendo to let me make one. That feature is in the hardware. It's just they are telling developers no. But so the I had ideas, but they were like, no, you can't be the first, and we're not ready. but the fact that they're making Joy-Cons at scale such that they want you to go and buy a second pair means that they're going to be making more of those than Switches. Those things are going to be made at a higher sense of scale. The Switch will undoubtedly do better than the Wii U did in terms of sales numbers, which will help the cost of Joy-Cons go down, which will help the cost of the system go down.
Well, I on that note, Seren, I think this is something we should discuss, because I've seen some people on Twitter complaining that the Joy-Con grip plus the two controllers alone will set you back about $100.
80 together, 50 for one or the other.
Okay, I didn't know there was a discount for the bundle. And then I guess the wrist straps are about $10 a piece. And then a grip would be more on top of that, although I guess the grip is optional. But, you know, people are saying, hey, if I want to play another game with somebody, I have to spend $100 essentially for another controller. And my response to that was, hold up. If you want to play a game with another person, you've already got the hardware that comes in the box to do that in most cases. Yeah. Or if you want to do it on the TV, you could buy a Pro Controller for half that price.
So, yes, the Pro Controller, which is $70. let me just quickly read these, just so people know. Nintendo Switch Pro Controller is $69.99. This is U.S. prices, $69.99. Joy-Con Controller, the bundle, $79.99. Individual Joy-Cons, $49.99. The grip, which also charges, is $30. And the dock and charging cable, if you want a second dock for like another TV, is $90.
Mm. That's a lot for that dock, considering what it does.
That is a lot for that dock. I
bet
all of
the dock doesn't do much. Doesn't seem like it does much.
It does not seem like it does much. So out of all of those, I will admit the only one that seems high to me is the dock and AC cable. I would expect that to be $79.99, not $89.99. $10 more than I thought.
Do you think we see that's the space that maybe we see third parties jump in and make something?
Not the dock.
Oh.
Nyko ain't gonna make a dock like that. Nyko's not gonna make a dock that good.
Mm.
But they could make a dock, right? Seems like they could. I mean, well, based on what we know is in the dock, I don't really see why Nyko can't make a dock.
Because if they had access to all the proprietary technology, then they could make a dock.
Mm.
It's not like NFC that lets you slide that thing into the dock and let the system immediately know that it's in TV mode and then transmit it to the dock, and then the dock transmits it to HDMI. The HDMI ain't going into the Switch. The HDMI is going into the dock, and the dock is processing it all.
I see. There's okay. more. It's not just a pass-through.
Yeah,
I mean,
connector.
It is pass-through, but it's Switch to dock to HDMI to TV.
Yeah. Right.
So you would, like... It's not just a stand with an HDMI port and some
USBs.
Stuff is happening in the dock. So, but looking at these prices, like to get an extra set of Joy-Cons and an extra Joy-Con grip is $110. Oof. To get the Pro Controller is $70. And if you're looking to play games at home, multiplayer, for most games, because obviously games are going to handle this very differently depending, most games, the most natural supported solution would be get a Pro Controller, which you can use as well when you're at home and you're not doing multiplayer. And then when you want to play multiplayer on a TV, one person uses the two Joy-Cons and the Joy-Con grip if you'd like, which comes bundled with the system. The other one takes the Pro Controller. That works. If you're doing local multi-portable, it depends on the game, but a lot of games will let you play with one Joy-Con each.
They'll find a way to work around it.
Yes, and especially if you have, especially ones that want you to like take it to a party, those are going to be the ones that especially want you to work with just one Joy-Con if possible.
If
you have the strap and everything, then that's really not as big of an issue as you might think.
You could also use the Pro Controller in portable mode, right? If you or tablet mode, if you just prop it up on your, you know, in the back.
Is it tabletop mode or is that how they refer to it? Yes, we put
out the kickstand, set it on the table. Yes, you can still sync. All the controller options are available, including playing with the Joy-Cons attached to the system.
Okay.
Cool.
They don't take away control methods when you go portable. They add one more, which is allowing you to play it like a Wii U gamepad.
By the way, Seren, have you held the Switch in handheld mode enough to get a sense of like how the ergonomics of it and the weight of it compare to, say, a Wii U gamepad?
Ooh, not retail unit, no.
Okay.
It may
not be comparable then.
Think when you're at 3D, when you're at E3 and the system is hooked up to a giant wire.
Yeah.
That's what
I was afraid of.
Like if you could tell someone after playing at an E3 how ergonomic and weight heavy the Wii U gamepad was, that's about the level I can give you right now.
Okay. We may get better info on that tomorrow.
Yeah. Yes, you absolutely will. I would
expect the units for media and everything will be much closer to final retail hardware.
Absolutely.
If not, literally.
They'll still be tethered, but you'll at least have a perception of how much they weigh.
Yeah.
I'm trying not to give you too little, but I'm also trying not to give you too much. I apologize if I'm coming off as unhelpful.
No, we understand. All right, so I think we probably need to get close to wrapping up. I'm going to give the chat one opportunity to hit me with any questions we've got. We're starting to see game boxes. They look hot.
They're very tall. Yeah. The game boxes are tall.
Yeah, they're like the PSP cases.
Yeah, that's cool. Yeah.
The Breath of the Wild one in Japan looks like a Ghibli DVD. It's hot. It is a neat looking thing. Any other game anybody wants to talk about real quick they saw that they're interested in?
I would like to talk about FIFA briefly, only in the sense that it was not FIFA 2018 or whatever the next official one is. It seems to be this is a special one for Switch.
Did they say that? They did not say that, but they said it just didn't have a year on it.
It didn't have a year on it. Specifically did not have a year on it. And they said that it is going to be tailored to the specific capabilities of the Switch hardware.
So the FIFA Twitter account has not acknowledged that this announcement happened. I'm going to go to EA. EA just says, EA Sports FIFA is coming to hashtag Nintendo Switch, along with a full transcript on EA.com that maybe Bill Trenton could have looked at if this was already written up. He did an excellent job translating. It was just that it was written with adjectives, and so that one line where he had to repeat basically the same thing three times in a row and take a breath each time, that's how Japanese functions when you stack adjectives.
It's like a list.
Yes. It will deliver the FIFA experience custom built for Nintendo Switch.
Yes.
So you can play anywhere, play with anyone, and play how you want to play. They're not talking about what's the fucking Ultimate Team.
Yes.
Which is the big draw. They're not talking about that. If you're at a park, at your friend's house, or on vacation, you can always stay connected to the biggest matches. You'll be able to, which is weird because how are you going to get Wi-Fi at the whatever? You can always stay connected to the big. Yeah, you'll be able to get on the pitch with your favorite players and teams from the world's best leagues from iconic stadiums around the world. With unmatched authenticity and depth that FIFA is known for. We will have much more to say and show in the coming months as we bring the world's game to Nintendo Switch in 2017.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So yes, they refuse to say exactly what they're bringing other than the FIFA franchise.
Yep.
And I hope this isn't what they did with Madden on Wii.
Yep.
And Wii U.
Yeah, well, especially...
It was the old play type. But, it was like, well, we're going to kind of sort of have a kind of somewhat simplified or stylized kind of version that we think fits better for that market. And then, with Wii U, there never was a Madden game.
Yeah, I would like to see... obviously, it'd be ideal if it was the core FIFA. And when they say custom made, they may be just referring to like, yeah, it uses the Joy-Cons. We built around that. We have that in mind. Or they could mean this is a whole different thing, and it's not the one you're expecting it to be.
FIFA babies.
We might
with Bladderhouse. I want Bladderhouse.
I know you want Bladderhouse.
We might find out tomorrow, but I doubt it.
Bladderhouse mode.
It's worth noting that tomorrow there's going to be more announcements, a lot more details. Ono-san is going to be in New York demoing the Street Fighter.
I saw that.
Personally, they're going to focus a lot more on Western focus announcements and details.
Like
they're
Retro Studios.
No. No.
Wait for E3.
Has Retro confirmed what they aren't making, or is that just rumored?
I don't know if they've said anything.
I haven't heard anything.
Okay.
I haven't even heard the rumor.
Well, then I will shut the hell up. I will say I am very happy with the forward-looking future of Switch lineup, first, second, and third party.
I'm very happy. It will be fun to see what
coming ultimate... from you. I don't know really what that means.
It means that this press conference would have been better if Devil's Third had shown up. Damn it!
It's like there's gonna be the first.
All right, that's it. We're done. Next.
No, James. They partnered with Itagaki for that Momotaro Densetsu game that was made by his team.
Oh God.
Good.
Okay. Okay. I have a couple of other quick hits. Before Sarin hijacks this with Japanese porn games, I will say...
What?
I found no Twitch streaming, obviously. That's not even on the friggin' table, which is...
You mentioned video capture later with the share button thing, right?
Yeah.
That was the closest thing they got.
Yeah. Twitch could be added later, of course.
Yes.
Okay, that's good to hear.
I mean, there's no reason it couldn't be.
No, there is no reason it couldn't be.
Okay, that is good.
Except for maybe they don't have the partnership in place right now.
All right.
You know, and we talk about that. The muddled was the word we use, and maybe going on too much detail about that stuff would have potentially been additionally muddling. Because then
that's the thing. This is going to have to be a kind of a rollout situation. Like, so we haven't got long 6 weeks. So it's not like they can take too much time about this. If you realize it, I think we talked about the original video. I think one of the things that was good about it was the sort of the discipline of it, you know, that it just kind of, this is console gaming, but you can take it on the go. And you know, it's going to have Nintendo stuff on it as well as third party stuff. That was pretty much it. With this, there's more to unpack, and how you kind of unpack that across their various messaging tentacles is going to be interesting, to say the least, because especially with the motion control stuff, I feel like people could get skewed perceptions of what it is, so I think they have to be very careful with how they roll all this information out.
Yeah, and at some point they were going to have to do the big info drop, and it was always going to be a much more difficult high wire act than what they could get away with in just a little teaser trailer.
Hey, Seren, I got another question for you.
Does it have to do with Shin Megami Tensei?
No, I'm looking at an awkward photo of people holding the Joy-Cons and the Sniffer Clips logo, and I'm just wondering, did you have a preference between the left or the right one? I mean, the thumb placements are pretty different for the joystick and the buttons.
I mean, yeah, I kind of like having my thumb rest on the joystick, so left, but I'm right-handed, so right, so I actually kind of balanced out.
Okay.
Oh, it's hard to... another email. Yeah. Oh, press release. Atlus will launch a new Shin Megami Tensei game on the Nintendo Switch, which actually isn't talking about the new thing they just announced at the same time, which is they're also making a 3DS game for this year.
Wait, what?
Oh, sweet.
They're making SMT 25th Anniversary Project has HD Project and 3DS Project.
Oh, God.
3D, info on 3DS Project coming soon. The North American press release does not mention 3DS Project, only HD Project.
Hmm. So we may not be getting that one.
We might. I don't know. Apocalypse did well.
Fair enough.
Yeah, oh, good.
All right. Let's move to the wrap up phase. Let's give a letter grade. Not necessarily to what they announced, but to the whole thing. So including grading the performance.
Can I use a dollar sign as the grade?
A dollar sign. No, but you can use characters with umlauts. What dollar sign would you like to give them?
Yeah, no, just a lot of them because this thing is going to be more expensive than I expected. Yeah, and I just I have not pre-ordered one so far, and I'm probably not pre-ordering one.
Yeah, on that subject, UK wise, they've just gone live. The pre-orders are an hour later than originally promised from Amazon, and £280 is the opening, which that's pretty steep.
Is a lot.
We've talked about the impact of the referendum on the currency and all of that hasn't helped, believe me. But I guess the big thing, you know, in terms of launch is that Zelda is going to be there, but then it is also on Wii U, although I don't know whether that will actually be simultaneous. Have we got any information on that?
The pre-order page is there on Amazon right now. It's not up, I don't think. Or maybe I think it's kind of going up and down, but I mean, that would lead me to believe that it's coming out same day.
The Wii U version would be
The Wii U version of it. I'm assuming, yeah,
I think ultimately the launch, the fact that the Zelda's coming for launch and it's going to be a couple of weeks earlier, like those were sort of pleasant surprises on the launch front. The rest of the launch lineups around went through it earlier, probably weaker than I was expecting, and I feel like my expectations were sort of tempered correctly. It's certainly not a slam dunk that price.
We will see.
So, one last thing before we continue giving letter grades, if we're still doing that,
I'm trying. I'm trying to go to bed.
It just clicked in my head. Puyo Puyo Tetris is available on PS4 retail and Switch retail and eShop. And the way the Tetris license works is competing products aren't allowed to be released digitally, which is why Puyo Puyo Tetris has never been digital on a region-free system. So the meaning of that is the eShop is almost guaranteed to be region-locked. It's just it plays region-free cartridges.
Yeah.
Oh. Weird.
So, because that's just how the Tetris license works. That's how. That's why it's not going on PSN, but it's coming out on PS4 disc. In Japan, it was available digitally on Wii U and 3DS, but if you want it on PS4 and Xbox One, you needed a physical copy.
Thank you, Hank Rogers, for that. What a mess.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's
actually,
that
and also Minoru Arakawa and Alexei Pajitnov.
Yes, so the Tetris license is so complicated that is how they're bringing it over, and because it's being made available digitally on Switch, guess what? It's probably a region-locked eShop. Which isn't the worst thing in the world, but it does mean shipping, and you're not going to get smaller titles. Like when Sayonara Box Boy, or Sayonara Hako Boy, launches on the eShop in a month, like that kind of equivalent you wouldn't be able to get early.
Right, But hopefully, we have less of the. Well, this game's just not going to come out in the West now.
Hopefully.
Yeah, I would like to imagine that at some point we'll be able to. We won't have to worry about that crap anymore. But we'll see.
Europe being able to import games that are coming out there 6 months later.
Yeah,
because the English version is already here.
No more waiting 3 years for Rodietta Sky Soldier to come out.
All right, let's get back to letter grades, because now you just made me depressed. I'm going to give this presentation, for just giving it symbols, I'm going to give it a C question mark. Because there was a lot they didn't handle, like a lot of stuff that I don't understand. And maybe the game stuff tomorrow will help with that, and seeing the Western game stuff will help with that. Like, it spoke to me because there's a lot of, like, Japanese games on there that are the kind of stuff I'm into. Like, knowing there's a Nobunaga's Ambition coming to Switch, it's like, okay, yeah, I'll deal with that. That makes me happy. That game is impenetrable, but Tecmo Koei, do what you do. But... you know, obviously, I wanted to see more of the shape of what that system's lineup is. Because right now, it looks like it's mid-tier Japanese publishers, Todd Howard, and FIFA. And, like, that's a fucking weird lineup that they've just announced.
Well, I guess the surprising part of it is that with all the rumors we've had around Ubisoft's cooperation... Yeah. You know, with specifically the whole Rabbids RPG, you know, crossover Mario thing and all that. And Ubisoft typically, you know, give platforms, you know, the big blast at launch.
Right.
And then kind of see what the environment's like after the dust settles. So it was surprising to see so little from them, even though there was some. We talked about Rayman Definitive Edition and all that.
Steep, yeah.
Of all fucking games.
But still, it seemed a little bit muted compared to what I would expect from Ubisoft at launch. But I guess, you know, they didn't want to leave themselves, you know, with the possibility of the very abrupt vault farce that they had last time on Wii U.
Yeah, I'll be curious to see if, as you said, announcements are still happening. Europe is really just get it going. So we might see Ubisoft start to wake up in the next couple hours and announce things. Because we know Just Dance exists. Like, they've told they've been telling us that for about 7 years now, if they're making Just Dance for Switch. So
might be very good with these motion controllers, right?
Yeah, well, I was just thinking, with these motion controllers, surely we could have a much better return to Samba de Amigo than the Wii one, which was
We don't talk about that. Gearbox is
a great idea.
But yeah, it'll be good to see if with the start of these Western events, we start to see some other publishers step out and say, like, hey, this is what we're making. This is what we got. You know, it'll be good to know that the lineup is more rounded than it currently looks. It looks very, very Japan heavy. And I expect it will remain Japan heavy, but I'd like to see some degree of counterbalance. But you know, at the same time, it's the stuff that we saw is not normally the stuff that gets shown off in a launch lineup. You know, the 1-2 Switch, that is closer to what you'd expect to see, obviously, because it's kind of a smaller game showing off proof of concept stuff. But, you know, a big Mario game like that is not usually something you see in the very first, like, few minutes of a launch lineup reveal. You know, a new Splatoon entry. These are games that I would be excited to play mid-console cycle and late console cycle. So seeing them early is nice. Obviously, there are things that we are missing that we would have expected to have seen, but you know, I'm cautiously optimistic. He says the guy who already spent $300 on one, but that's fine. it's a business expense.
Oh, what is it? Can we expense it?
No.
That would make a difference.
Yeah, where do I turn that in? Where
to consult your tax that paperwork? Preparer.
I mean, I don't think I can cover all of you. I tease.
All right, who else has to give it a letter?
I would also give it a C. Don't know why they didn't highlight Mario Kart 8 Deluxe. Would have liked to have seen that. Just in general, would have liked more detail on the online stuff for something that's so close to release. I still think it's very strange that they haven't released more info even than was on the website. I don't know,
I'll be interested once we have the chance to talk to people. I think that will help.
Overall, just you know, there's not enough information for me for something that was so close to release, but I enjoy the kookiness, and of course I'm there day one because Zelda. So,
yeah, it was. Would you say you remember the Wii U one, right? That ended with, imagine you could go to a Nintendo theme park. Well, just imagine.
one more thing.
Yeah, like you remember that like this definitely had a much different tenor than that. Like, did you feel more positive?
Well, it finished on that Zelda trailer, which, you know, is the sort of bang that you're looking for. Even though it's the known quantity, just, you know, like literally the sound of the music, but, you know, the visuals and everything, you know, it just...
They could put together a trailer that it's for that coming, game.
Knowing that it's coming in 6 weeks' time, that's, you know, that leaves you with a big impression to finish on. And the Mario trailer was very good as well.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And we talked about it. I think the Xenoblade trailer was remarkably effective. I think it did a lot to say, like, hey, this isn't Xenoblade X. This isn't Melty Face Xenoblade Chronicles. This is we've evolved again, and this is new. And we're not going to show you too much, but hey, here it is. Who still owes me letters?
Well, I guess I'll put a C on it for now. You know, I guess the thing is, though, it kind of feels partial to me, you know, with the treehouse stuff in a few hours and the way it's going to roll out. It really, I mean, it's kind of like grading an NFL draft class after the first day where they pick one player, you know, or after the first 2 days where they pick three players. You know, but people do that, so I guess we could do that too. And I'll give it a C. But yeah, the rollout is yet to come in its entirety, so I feel a bit sort of iffy about giving a grade.
Fair enough. Johnny, give me a letter.
I think you guys are pretty tough. I would go with a B+.
We've been having to hold down this show with nothing to talk about for a year. We've become very jaded.
Yes, you're obviously starved. But yeah, I would say I thought it was a pretty good debut. I thought it was, you know, obviously a very Japanese event, but with a global kind of flavor on top of it, which I thought was an interesting presentation. And, you know, I think the things that they showed were exciting, and there were some surprises in there that even the leaks really hadn't addressed. Some of the stuff with the Joy-Con features were not.
I'm so happy that didn't leak.
Yeah, there was some cool stuff there. Those are really packed to the gills with some weird technology that, you know, remains to be seen what that means for us. But there were definitely some first party games that we never heard of. They showed more of Mario than I expected, to be honest. And I think the scope of that game is exactly what I was hoping for. And the fact that it's coming out this holiday season is that's what I'm, you know, I'm very thrilled about that. Zelda at launch is a big deal. It kind of needed to happen, but there was so much doubt sown in the past few months about whether that was even possible that, you know, that's very, very comforting to know that that's coming soon. You know, for me, the biggest knock really is just I think the launch lineup looks a little thin right now, but that's without having seen more of these new franchises that they're putting out there. I think if Mario Kart was there, it might feel a little bit more robust. But
time to jump into Disgaea.
It's true.
I don't think there's ever a good time.
If you've got 137,000 hours, it's a good time to jump into Disgaea.
Yeah. But look, I mean, nobody's really going to be playing anything but Zelda on the first month that this comes out. So, you know, Zelda is all the launch title that you really need. And, you know, for me, the really only downside is the price. I just think it's pretty expensive. But, you know, that's more of a market concern. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you know, I'm going to buy it anyway. I bought a Wii U, so I'm stupid.
exactly, me too.
But, you know,
it's expense.
The Wii U's price didn't go. The Wii U's price didn't go down. Like you didn't hurt yourself.
In the end, you're fine.
The 3DS was the one where you got burned. I mean, that, you know, because the price did go down on that. And that's, I mean, for what Saran says, the price may go down on Switch in a way that it did not with Wii U. So the possibility is there to get burned maybe again, but we shall see.
Yeah, I'd say $300 bucks this holiday season plus a game plus expensive controllers is a tough proposition when it's going to be up against very likely $200 PlayStations and Xboxes in America.
Yeah,
that's a tough sell, I think.
They've really got to push and say, like, look, this other thing that it does is worth the extra money. Like, that they've got to really find a way to message that.
Yeah, absolutely.
And that's the challenge. And it's so far,
but they'll have new Mario, new Zelda, which they never really were able to show effectively on Wii U. So I think the software lineup is already stronger in a lot of ways than what we ever got on Wii U, and that's just in the launch year. Mm-hmm. And it goes for a lot.
I just rewatched the Xenoblade 2 trailer again. I want to move myself up to B minus question mark exclamation point. It's an asterisk.
Am I the only one that hasn't?
Yes. Unless I'm missing somebody.
I don't know. I will say it was going to be an A-, and then I reread the Atlas press release that actually said that the SMT game is not confirmed for the West. They just wanted to share it with the Western audience because they felt like it.
Because they're fucks.
It's actually the wording is Atlas USA currently has no information about a localization for this title, but wanted to present the details from the Japanese reveal of this title to the Western market. A formal announcement will be made later for this title if a localization gets confirmed.
Mm-hmm. Hey, it's region free.
So, I mean, yes, and I speak Japanese, but at the same time, I think that moves down from an A- to a B+.
Well, the game in question is. You're talking about 5, right?
I'm talking about HD Project.
HD Project.
HD Project.
Yes, yes, the new. Yes. Yeah, I mean,
one of the two new.
Yeah, that will.
Yes, it's coming west. I know.
Yeah,
I know it's
like,
going to the west.
Like, that's the dumbest, cagiest, ridiculous shit. Like, it's just like, yeah, we're gonna do it. We just
legal,
don't have an announcement.
Legal
yet.
Department.
Yeah, let's.
That's like, legal department.
We'll get to it. Like, that's just. Yes. It should just say. Dash, we'll get to it, period.
If they localized Catherine, they're going to localize SMT5.
You raise a good point. All right, so I think that's time for us to do it because it's late. Or in Greg's case,
very
late.
Boy, is it?
Yeah, half 7.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And I've still got work to do on this podcast tonight. Greg, do you have any music? Because if not, I'm going to find some.
I was thinking, you know, because, well, you know, I didn't have to dream or envision a white Switchmas. I lived it. The UK is currently getting pounded with snow. So, you know, given that we had the Mario game and all that, what about Snowball Park from Super Mario 3D World?
There it's a great song.
You know, as somebody who just dug out 9 inches of snow, I think that makes perfect sense. All right. That's good to do it. I want to thank everybody who joined us in the chat, everybody who we got to talk to today, everybody who's here, and, you know, everybody on Nintendo World Report who is doing all the work to make, you know, to cover this event so we're freed up to do this podcast thing.
Making Switchmas dreams come true.
That we do. And, you know, you can go to NWR for more news on all of the Switch stuff because, of course, we will be there at the preview event. So we'll have some impressions up later today, and any news that breaks, we will be covering it. And
hey, James, real quick. In 2 weeks, I will be playing Switch at PAX South with the Austin Mates crew and maybe doing a little coverage for NWR as well while I'm out there. So look for that. Maybe I'll come back and chat with you guys about it. And if anybody is going to be at the show in San Antonio, hit me up on Twitter at Johnny Metz with no H and no Z.
Cool. All right. Well, that's going to do it for us. Thank God. Time to sleep.
Monochrono 2017.
God damn it. It's not time for plugs. It's time for bed.
I need to plug this goddamn game on the day that the system gets its full unveil.
Good night, everybody.
Night.
Night. Bye. Bye.
Thank you.